All right, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining the last session of the day. So man, it's gonna be hard to compete with those HoloLens demos, but I do have some cool demos today. Thanks for staying late. So today we're gonna focus on Excel, PowerPoint, and Word add-ins. We're gonna drill down a little bit more into the development experience, what they are for people that aren't familiar with them already. My name is Rolando Jimenez, and I'm a lead program manager on the Office Extensibility Platform team. I've been working with Office for 6 years now, and I've been a witness of the evolution of the different extensibility models. So it's great to see how we're moving towards a new model where you can use web technologies to extend Office in a very easy way. So please don't forget to do the evaluation. I was not expecting that slide. So the agenda for today is we're going to do a quick overview of Office add-ins. I'm going to spend most of the session talking about what's new, what is the new developments that we have made in the last 3 to 6 months since the last big conference. We're going to talk a little bit about the roadmap, what's coming in the future, and then we're going to spend some time talking about the call to action. So in terms of how this session fits in the overall framing for the rest of the developer talks, we're going to focus in this session about bringing new user experiences into Office. So the left-hand side of the slide is what this session is all about. So let's dive in. So you probably saw this slide about the opportunity to extend Office. There's obviously some impressive numbers over there. More than 1 billion users using Office for an average of 2 hours every day. So that's a big opportunity. There's a captive market there that if you create solutions that extend Office, you can reach to all these big audience. So for this session, I'm going to focus on that aspect, the number of users and the time they spend inside the Office applications. Because Office add-ins is precisely to bring your custom experiences inside the applications that Office use the most. And from my perspective, this is all about productivity. So why would you extend Office as opposed to just create your own web application or mobile application? Well, I think we need to think about two perspectives. One is the end user perspective, which is we want to make users more productive. Office is a productivity suite. It's already helping users to be productive. But there are still a lot of opportunities where I see, for example, customer scenarios where users have a lot of their information and their data in Excel, but they often, in a big enterprise, need to connect to LOB systems. So I see them constantly switching to login screens, to connect to customer data, copy the data, put it into Excel, the format is not correct, spend 20 minutes just formatting the data, and it's a lot of loss of productivity. So even though they are using Office, one of the best productivity suites in the planet, they still have these inefficiencies. So productivity for end users can be optimized by creating these custom solutions, bringing the connectivity, the collaboration that they need in the context of Office. Now, from a developer perspective, developing add-ins also makes a lot of sense. So as a developer, if you are going to create a solution that has functions where Office already excels, like collaboration, content authoring, data analysis, why start from scratch? Why invent another way to do things if Office users are already familiar with the way Office does it? You can build on top of Office instead, and then save a lot of time and offer your users a much valuable experience in a familiar product that they already use 2 hours in average a day. So with that context, I just want to talk a little bit about the new web add-ins. So you probably heard the rename from Apps for Office to the new Office add-ins. So this is something that we are doing to reflect on the history that we have had on Office extensibility. We have had COM add-ins, VSTO add-ins, and people were a little bit confused with the notion of apps and the fact that you have mobile apps, web apps, and apps inside Office apps. So we decided to go with add-ins, which sounds good, and people understand it. So it's an easy concept to grasp. So I'd like to ask at this point, how many of you are already familiar with apps for Office or have developed an app for Office? Okay. So throughout this session, apps for Office are going to be Office add-ins. In the products, you will still see the apps for Office term. And it's going to take some time for us to propagate the name. But eventually, everything will be called add-ins in all the products. So if you see in some screenshots or even the products themselves apps for Office, those are what we call Office add-ins. And whenever we need to distinguish, we're going to use the web add-ins to make sure we're talking about the new type of add-ins. Now, let me ask you, how many of you have created or have solutions in the COM or VSTO technology? So quite a bit. So you are pretty familiar with how to extend Office, so I probably don't need to sell you more about the value of doing this. So let me just jump right into some demos. I want to show you the current state of Office add-ins. So you've seen we have a store, and a lot of developers have already published thousands of different apps in the store. And in these last few years, we've seen a lot of very interesting apps coming up, apps that allow you to really enhance your productivity. So I want to show you just a few of the apps that are already there, just to give you a sense of what's happening in the market. So I'm going to start with these business solutions apps in Excel, which is created by Dun & Bradstreet, which is one of the companies that has one of the largest database in the world about business. They have information about revenue, contact information, marketing information. And they created this solution in Excel that allows me to pull information from their database right in Excel so that I can manipulate it there. So in this case, let's say I'm a small software company and I want to sell my product for small retailers here in the area. And I would like to find some prospects. So I'm going to use this solution from Dun & Bradstreet. They have these marketing solutions where they offer me the ability to request a prospect list based on some criteria. So I'm going to click on that. And the first thing I'm going to do is enter the country. So let's write something. I can type local. And actually, let's see what's around here. So let's do San Francisco. So I'm going to select this area. And then my target market is small retail companies. I want to help them be more productive but have more sales. So I'm going to type retail there and get the actual filter I want. In this case, I want all the retail stores in the area. And I want to focus on companies that have a lot of employees and are not doing that well with revenue. So let's say I want less than $1 million in revenue, but they have more than 10 employees. So let's see how that comes up. I'm just going to say load. They charge per transaction, so you can see some very interesting business models happening already in the market. I'm going to accept the charge. They go fetch the data from the database, and now it's ready for me to insert. I just click here, and boom, I have the data in Excel. Now, since I'm in Excel, I already can start doing some of the things that I would naturally do in Excel, like, for example, do some conditional formatting for some of this data to see where the employees are. But I want to do a little bit more than that, and I'm going to use the capabilities and the fact that I'm already in Excel to create this scenario for me. So in this case, I want to get the full address for these businesses because I want to see them on a map. So, but the data came in different columns. So what I'm going to say is use the Excel data field functionality to help me get the full address in just one single field. In this case, I'm just going to put an example. I'm going to copy the address of the first one. And this is San Cisco and 107. So I just copied that to show Excel what I want from these three columns. And I'm going to do the data tab and do a flash fill. So Excel is going to automatically give me that list of full addresses. Once I have that, Now I can select that entire set of companies, and I want to use another app, in this case the Bing Maps app, which you probably are very familiar with, and just tell Bing Maps, hey, please give me a map of those addresses that I just obtained. And I'm going to use this other visualization, which actually allows me to better drill down and see which companies have a lot of employees, but not a lot of sales. In this case, I can see these red circles where the ratio between employee and sales is bigger. And I can see these guys have 19 employees and not even a million sales, whereas these guys have a million sales and 13 employees. So these guys probably need help. I can go and sell my product to them. So this is a great way to bring productivity right into office. I didn't have to leave Excel to achieve this whole end-to-end scenario. Now, you've been hearing a lot that this is a platform for all of Office, all of the clients. So I just want to demonstrate how that's true. I'm going to save this into my OneDrive. I'm going to call it my prospects. And then I'm going to go to my OneDrive on the web. Actually, let's do OneDrive. And I should see that new prospects workbook here. So now if I click there, I would expect that I will get the exact same experience I left on the desktop. So this ability to move from one device to another and continue to be productive, I get my map here. I can continue to drill down. I can get more data with the Business Solutions app. I could add another sheet and start editing these. So you can see the power of this model. Now let me jump now into Word. And in Word, you've probably seen a lot of the reference apps, Wikipedia, translation. All those are very simple apps, but that give you good productivity boosters in some cases. I'm starting to see some very interesting ones, like this MindoMapper that I found the other day. This one is really interesting because it allows me to very easily generate content without having to do a lot of effort. So in this case, let's say I'm editing a document, and I want to do some brainstorming around one of the terms, the key terms in my writing. So in this case, I'm going to select a word, in this case, video, and I'm going to say, give me insights about that. Create me a new mind map for video. And this app is going to search the web and give me terms related to that particular word. In this case, I see there is a technology one. I want to drill down a little bit more and see what's in the web about technology. I can say map node, and then this will continue to search the web and give me more insights about that. I can create my own ideas. And once I'm done, I can, of course, come here and say I want to add this diagram to my document. And boom, I have created very quickly, without leaving Word, a whole new type of diagram without having to install an application, go switch context, etc. And then lastly, just to wrap up with PowerPoint, you probably have seen all those QR codes that we have on the slides. Well, there's an app that allows you to very easily do that in PowerPoint. We have this QR code generator. I like this app, especially in this type of scenario. So for example, I want to generate the QR code for dev.office.com, which is the main destination that we use. And I want to make it bigger. I want to make it blue to match the slide. And once I'm done, I can copy and paste it here. And in a matter of seconds, I already created my QR code for my session. Similarly, you've probably seen other apps like Poll Everywhere, which allows me to do live audience polling inside my presentations. And we have also seen a lot of enthusiasm in the education space. So there is these very cool interactive labs that people are putting in presentations, especially teachers, to teach their students about different topics. In this case, look at this. It teaches me about the concentration of a particular substance in the water. I can play with these, and I can really learn about some science topic, in this case, with these nice applications. So pretty cool. People are starting to be creative and enable very interesting scenarios. But people always ask me, can you really create enterprise solutions with this platform? I mean, is it ready? And even though you've probably seen that there are some API gaps, we are working on filling those as fast as we can. But today, we have already a lot of what you need to create real-world solutions. And I want to just show you the architecture behind the SAP demo that you guys have seen. And I'm going to beat it to death in this session one more time. I know you have seen it twice. Just want to show you one more time to make sure that you understand what's going on behind the scenes. So in this case, that SAP demo is based on an architecture like this. There's an add-in in Office. SAP has created this enterprise gateway that is hosted on the cloud that basically allows you to get access to SAP, even your on-premise data from SAP through this gateway. So all you need to do from your Office add-in is connect to some piece of software in the cloud that is the door into your enterprise data. So it is possible to go and access data and systems that are on-prem. And in this case, the other challenging aspect is also the identity. How do you manage identities? So what they're doing is they're mapping the Office 365 identities to the SAP identity. So there's some configuration and initial setup that happens, but once that it's done, you can securely log in from your Office 365 tenant into their service and then into SAP. So let me just quickly show you how that works. Close this one here, and let's close this one too. Okay, so here's the SAP demo that you've seen a couple of times already. So what I did to make sure that this is not just smoke and mirrors, I actually installed the SAP client GUI on my machine that is connecting to a real SAP system hosted on the cloud. So I want to show you what that looks like. So I'm going to open. I'm going to be brave here. I definitely felt like a fish out of the water in this UI, but I'm going to try. So I'm going to log in on my SAP system. I need to remember the name of the table that I need to connect, but going through all those hurdles, now this is the screens that SAP users see every day where they manage the data. So here I have a collection of records. In this case, you can see it's the same data set that I'm showing in Excel, and I'm already connected. So what I want to show you is how the updates are happening real time. So I'm going to come here, and you can see this particular, the first record is the contact name is some some other person. So I'm going to say I'm going to be the contact for that car. And obviously, this record is right now looks like this in SAP. Here's the contact. I just changed. Actually, let me take over like the first three cars. I'm going to be the promoter of those cars in this project. So I'm going to say let's compare and save, as you have seen. So this is going to connect to the SAP system and check what changes have people made over there, what changes I have made, and seems I lost the connection. Let me try to reload. Sometimes this happens. Okay, so let's do compare and save. There we go. So it connects to my SAP system. It recognizes that I have changed three rows, and it gives me the opportunity to review those and select which changes. In this case, I want to say I want to keep all the Excel changes and update SAP. So I'm done. Now I can go back to my SAP UI and refresh here, and if I look at that record, I should see my name as a contact over there. So very real, credible end-to-end solutions are really possible with the new platform. So all you need to do is use your existing web skills and connect to systems that already know how to connect to the web and the cloud. All right, so that is what is possible today. Now, let's look at what's new. What have we been working on in the last 3 to 6 months? So I'm going to show you a series of demos to demonstrate these. So the first one, I'm going to start with the one that we're most proud of, which is the work we've been doing on the iPad. And you've probably seen a few demos. I just want to quickly demonstrate again the multi-platform aspect. So I just created that prospects sheet that in the desktop, then I opened it in online. Now if I come here, because my account is connected to my Office 365 10 and I'm already logged in, you see how it already showed up in my recent documents. So I'm going to click prospects. And you would expect to see exactly the same setting that I saved on the desktop. Now let's see if the network is working. Maybe not. Okay. It's a little bit slow. It's churning. Go, go, go. All right. So there it is. So you can see same code base. No changes to the apps, and the apps are running on the iPad as well. So this is where we're starting to realize really that promise of write once and run on all the different platforms. And as you saw, we're going to start enabling many more platforms in the future. So now let's jump into the developer experience. So what has changed there? So I want to take this opportunity to talk about some of the new experiences that we enable for developers. So for those of you that are not familiar and are still learning, we just released a new set of content that makes it really easy to learn about Office add-ins. So this is the new Getting Started page from outofdev.office.com. So if you go there today, this was released just this morning, you will find that there's information about Office 365 APIs and also about add-ins. We released a new Explore JavaScript page, which is very handy if you want to just go and try some of the APIs that are available. You have basically embedded Excel online, and you can try some code right there without doing anything more than just browse to that page. So for example, I can run this code here and see what it does. It writes hello world to the spreadsheet, and there's more samples over there. If I go back, let me close that. I'm going to also show you, now that we have the iPad accessible, how do you test and develop considering the iPad? So let's just create a very quick project and see how, as a developer, you can put it on the iPad so that you can try your application, make sure that everything's working. Because even though you create one code base, you still need to make sure that it works across all the different browser versions. In the case of iOS, you will be working with Safari. So this is no different than the web. You need to test your web app in multiple browsers. It's very similar here. So it's always a good idea to design for responsiveness for all these different form factors, but also test the different browsers to make sure that everything is working fine. So let's just create a very simple app, put it on the iPad from a developer perspective. So for that, I'm going to use the new Visual Studio on online experience, codenamed Napa. And some of you already saw this demo in the session for the developer keynote working with Outlook apps. We also enabled the ability to use Napa without requiring an Office 365 sign-in, which was a lot of the feedback we received that it was too much of a requirement. So we enabled the use of Napa just with your MSA account. So if you come here and get started, you can sign in with just your Hotmail account. And this will give you the Napa experience. I'm going to create a new project. And I'm going to say I want to create a data visualization. Add in, just create. So nothing fancy. There's the code. Run it. So I have already a working app that I can launch. And there it is. And start it. And it's a fully functional app. Very simple. There you go. It allows you to visualize, in this case, some sample data. Now, I'm going to go back to Napa and show you how to move that from that environment to the iPad, because I want to test it there. So for that, I'm going to use, in this case, Visual Studio. But you don't need Visual Studio. I'm just going to use Visual Studio for convenience in this case. So Napa allows you to download that project to Visual Studio. I'm going to save the file and open it. It generates an .exe file that is going to launch Visual Studio automatically with the same project that I just created. So I'm going to use Visual Studio to publish this easily to my Azure website. So in order to load this application on the iPad, I want to load it from Azure to see that it's loading correctly from the right environment. So what I'm going to do here is, and obviously if I run this on the desktop, it should run. Just to make sure, I'm going to test the app. So it's running here on the desktop using Visual Studio, and it's working well. So I'm just going to stop that. And now what I'm going to do is going to publish this. Right-click Publish. I'm going to create a new publishing profile and call it Demo. And I'm going to deploy this to Azure. So I want to show you some of the nice features of Visual Studio. If you already have an Azure account with your MSA or Hotmail account, you can come directly to the Profile tab in the Publishing Experience Wizard and select, I want to publish to one of my Azure websites. This is going to recognize your account because I'm signed in here. And I'm going to publish this app to this website here, Podium App, and just say publish. So that is going to put all the HTML and the JavaScript of the app in Azure websites. So once it's done, it should launch a browser. And it's navigating to the root. But if I go to the actual directory of the app, which is home HTML, it is there. So the app is already live in Azure websites. Now, the only thing I'm missing in order to see that in my iPad is I need to sideload the manifest of that app so that the iPad knows that that app exists. So that's what I'm going to do next. So I'm going to come back to Visual Studio and again say publish and say package the app. I'm going to make sure that this is going to connect over SSL, which is a requirement for all Office add-ins, and say finish. And this is going to give me the manifest. Here it is. This is the manifest that I need to put on my iPad so that I can test that app here. So let's go ahead and do that. Now I'm going to have to disconnect my mouse to be able to plug in my iPad. And the way I do it is very easily. I already installed iTunes in my Windows PC. But if you have a Mac, this will be a native experience too. Let me just come here. And so all I need to do is open iTunes. And I hope it recognizes my iPad. So I'm going to wait for my PC to recognize the iPad. It seems it's not, for some reason, it's not recognizing it. Let me try this. Try to connect directly. Okay, there it is. So now the iPad is connected. So all I need to do is come to the app section of my iPad. Wait for it to load. And I see the apps that are available there. You can see I have Excel and Word. So I'm going to drop that manifest that I just created, database, over there. OK. And that's it. Now I can come to my iPad. And let me connect this again so that I can project. and open. Let me switch so you can see. Not that one. This one. Okay. Okay, so it's opening the last document I had. I don't care about that one. Let's go back and create a new one. So I'm going to create a blank document. And when I go to my insert menu, you will see that we have add-ins here. And you will see that because I sideloaded that app or add-in, it's already there. I can insert it. And oh, this may be a network issue. Yeah. There we go. Okay. So there's something going on. So now if I insert sample data, I can see the app that I just published to Azure. So in a matter of minutes, I can really do my multi-device development really easily. So this is one of the the key aspects of the model. Now, let's switch gears, and I want to show you also some of the new capabilities from a platform perspective, as well as some of the APIs. What can you do with the APIs? So let me connect my mouse again. All right, so let's close iTunes here. And for this next demo, we said it's all about productivity. So let's create an app that really enhances the productivity of users from scratch. So we're going to do a demo that allows me to very easily create project information in Word with nice visualizations. So in this case, let me start a brand new project here. So I'm going to start. And let's call it, this is my Team Builder app. So I'm going to make it a task pane. In this case, I want to focus on Word. So while this sets up the project, let's talk a little bit about the scenario. In this case, I'm a sales person, and I all the time sell software projects. And most of the time, we put the same type of team structure. We have a UI designer. We have a couple of engineers and a project lead. And the only thing that changes is the actual people that are assigned to the project and the rates and the prices. So, but I do this all the time, and I spend a lot of time just creating these diagrams where I put in Word when I send the proposals to clients. So let's see how I can create a productivity boost add-in in a matter of minutes. So I'm going to start with a blank project. So let's just run it to see what it does for me. So the default project template from Visual Studio gives you something that you may be already familiar with, a simple app that allows you to read the selection and display it on a pop-up. Now, that's not very useful, so let's see what can we do to make it more useful. So I'm going to go back to Visual Studio and open some of the code behind this. And the first thing I want to talk about is one very powerful API that we have in Word that I'm not sure that people realize how powerful it is. So I'm going to focus my solution on that one API, which is the ability to read and write OpenXML from the document. So in this case, instead of just reading the text, I'm going to read the OpenXML representation of the selection. And I do that just by changing the type that I request the data to be returned to me. In this case, I'm doing a getSelectedData function and requesting text. I'm going to change that to request OpenXML. Oops. And I declare this variable to hold the result. So because OpenXML is much more larger, I'm just going to comment this notification. And instead of showing it there, I'm going to basically put it on that variable so that I store the XML. And I'm going to also show it in a text box so that we can see it. So for that, I'm going to also add a text box here to my default HTML. So let's see what that does to the app. So just switch back to Word. So OK, now I have a text box. Now I have the ability to select something. and get the OpenXML representation of that instead of the text. OK, that's still not very useful. Let's make it more interesting. So I'm going to close Word and show you a quick trick. In Visual Studio, if you add an existing document, no, I don't want to open Word. If I come to the project and right-click and say Add Existing Items, you can select any Word document that you have in your machine and add it to your project. In this case, I have this Word document that I want to use as a template. And then just tell Visual Studio to, instead of creating a new document every time you press F5, just use that document. So I'm going to do that because that document has the project template I want to automate. Now, another thing I want to do is I not only want to read the selection, I want to actually write and create something rich with XML. So let's create a button here. Oops. Let's create a new button that allows me to also set the data. And I'm going to go to JavaScript here and also hook up that button. As you can see, I'm using jQuery. So I just need to hook up that button to this setData function. So all I need to do is add the setData function. And the setData function is actually really simple as well. You can see we're only calling the setSelectedData API, and we're passing that OpenXML that we saved in the variable. So very simple code. So let's see how this looks like. So now I open my template document. You can see there is the template that I normally generate as a user. Now I'm going to add my app, Team Builder, as I'm developing it. I'm going to save that document. And now the power of OpenXML is that you can not only grab text, you can grab any complex representation of content in Word. So for example, in this case, I want this diagram. This is the type of diagram that I want my app to generate automatically for my users. So I created this project template diagram. And you can see I have placeholders for where the data would be. And what I want this app to do is basically generate these diagrams dynamically based on data coming from the backend. So let's see how we can do that. The first thing is, this object is a complex smart art object. I actually spent like a good 20 minutes just designing this object so that it looks right. So the power of this is that you can select here this whole thing and say, get the data. I have now the XML representation here. But now with the set data, I can write the same thing from this text box or the variable into the document. Okay, so now we have the ability to anything that I can represent in Word, I can put it on my app as a template and spit it out. Now, great, we just implemented copy-paste. So still not very useful. But the part that will make it really compelling is if I can replace these placeholders with actual data and make this really dynamic. So let's see how we can go and enable that for this project. So for that, I'm going to go back to Visual Studio and generate a data model so that I can load data from some other place. In this case, I'm going to just simulate that. But I also want to demonstrate how you can use any of the libraries that are out there in JavaScript. In this case, I'm going to use Angular to enhance this project. So Angular makes it really easy to bind the data on the UI, and that's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to include the Angular reference there. And I'm going to replace this text in the HTML with some Angular definitions for a couple of things. I'm going to have a title. I have an Angular app and the corresponding controller for those familiar with Angular. And then I have an input for the number of hours that these people will be working on. And then a four combo boxes to capture the different roles, who's going to play those roles, and a running total so that I can see who's working on that. Now that I have that on my HTML, all I need to do is come back to my JavaScript and add the corresponding data model for that. So in this case, I'm not going to reach out to a backend just for simplicity, but you can imagine you could connect to anything, even like SAP, for example, as we saw in the other case. In this case, I just have some hard-coded data of some people and their rates as an Angular controller, and I'm going to hook up that with the HTML, and I also have some variables for the selected people. as well as the total number of hours captured from the input box, and a function that is going to calculate the total based on what I selected. The other thing that I need is a function that allows me to replace the placeholders with the data that the user is specifying through the HTML. So I'm going to go and do that. I'm going to insert this function called assignTeam, which is a very simple function. It's going to receive a template T in this case and do a bunch of replacements, just string replacements, very simple, looking for this string lead and replace it with the actual selected lead from the user. Okay? And then the last thing is, instead of just passing the raw OXML to my set selected data, I'm just going to, before that, pass it through the replacement function. So I'm going to call assignTeam here, pass the OpenXML, and the result of that, already replaced, is going to be what I want to insert. So let's see how that works now. Okay, so let's come back here and reload my app to get the changes. Now I'm going to select this again. Oops, there it is. I'm going to get it, and I'm going to insert it with my set data. So you can see now I have the diagram, but with the real data. Now, if I want to change that, I can, of course, say, oh, this is too much money. Let's find someone else that doesn't charge that much. Let's reduce the price. Reduce the price on that one. And I want to set the data again. Oh, sorry, it seems like it reloaded for some reason, my app. So let me go and select this one. This is a template. There you go. So get from selection, I got the XML, and I want to update this one with the new values. I'm not sure why it's not selecting everything. Okay, there you go. So now let's select cheaper one. And there it is. I can update the price. So very powerful. Now, the only thing, I don't want the user to be selecting the template, because that's the point, right? The user shouldn't already have the template. So let's just add that template as part of my project so that users can use all these without having to know what the template is. So I'm going to delete this from the file. So give it in the original state, save it, close Word, and go back to Visual Studio. And I'm going to add one file here, an existing file. It's a simple text file that basically all it has is that same XML I can open that I showed in the text box. I basically just copied from that text box, put it on a text file, put it as part of my project, and that is my template. So now the only thing I need to do is, instead of getting the data from the selection, I'm just going to get the template. So let's change the name of the button here and go to my JavaScript and go to the function that gets the data. So this is get data from selection. I'm going to replace this, and I'm going to put this code. And this code basically just loads the TXT file and assigns it to the OXML variable, so the set will pick it up. So very simple. Let's see. It should work. All right, there's the app. Now I should be able to come to the end of the document in this case without selecting anything, get the template. OK, I got it from the web, and then change some people here, and then set the data. And there you go. So now I have an app that allows me to automatically generate these diagrams. And we created just in a few minutes. Now, this app works great on the desktop, where I have SmartArt and all that support. But what I want is, users may not have Word. Users may want to use Word Online. So let's publish this to Word Online. So for that, I'm going to use the publishing wizard again. So bear with me, you already saw this. So I'm going to do the same thing I did, create a new profile here, and basically deploy this project to Azure. In this case, I'm going to select a different site here, my demo site. And I'm going to publish this over HTTPS. So this is going to deploy this project that we just created to Azure. Now, the only thing I need for this to work on the Word Online is to now load that manifest into my Word Online tenant, the same concept that I did for the iPad. I'm going to sideload the manifest. So again, here is the page. So let's see if it's there. There it is. Obviously, it's not doing anything because it's not connected to Office, but the simple data model is working. Now, let's get the manifest for that thing. This is the publishing location. It's correct, so I just click Finish, and that gives me the manifest. So here it is. Now, all I need to do is come here and navigate to the app catalog of my Office 365 tenant that I'm going to use to give access to my users to this app. So I'm going to drag that manifest here. Okay, so it's uploaded. And now I'm going to come to OneDrive for Business. And let's say now I'm a salesperson, and I've already obtained this app because my IT admin put it into the catalog. I'm going to create a new project. So I have my project template here. Now I'm in Word Online. I'm going to say I want to edit this document in Word Online. So here's my project template. You can see there's a bunch of work I need to do. But when it's time to do the team structure, I can say, hey, I want to use an app to create the team structure section of this document. And this is new. This was just published today to production. So you can now go to your tenants and see this new button, My Apps, that will allow you to get access to the apps on that tenant. You can see the app is still not showing there. I just need to refresh. And here it is. Team Builder is the one that I just uploaded. I'm going to insert my Team Builder app. And my expectation is that this will do the same thing, right? So let's prove it. I'm going to click the Get Template to just retrieve the template from the web. And now I want to select my team configuration. Let's say, let's go with that and set data. And realize that Word Online doesn't even support SmartArt. I'm going to insert a chunk of content that the user cannot edit in Word Online itself. But the app can, because the app has the power of OpenXML. So with this, I can insert this diagram in Word Online and save the user a bunch of time. So this is what I call boosting the productivity of the user with an add-in. Now, let me switch back to the presentation. Okay. So I show you a few of the capabilities that we just released. So let's do just a quick summary of what are all the new things that have happened in the last 3 to 6 months. So we saw the simplified getting started experience for those people that want to learn more. We saw the add-ins in Excel for iPad, which are about to release in the next couple of weeks. We saw add-ins in Word Online and the whole end-to-end experience of developing one that does something useful. We are announcing also a simplified Office.js versioning experience. So for those of you already working with the Office.js, today we have a versioning scheme that uses two numbers. And that was causing, like, every time we rev the minor number, even though we're not introducing breaking changes, you will need to update to the new version so that your app keeps with the latest changes. So in order to reduce the friction and simplify this, we're going to just go with one version number and basically not make breaking changes until we change that number. So now you can reference the JavaScript API. Instead of 1.1, you will just say 1. And you will get all the latest updates without having to modify your app every time. Now, there's a few things that are coming. Performance improvements have been rolled out, as well as adding for the Outlook Mac. You probably saw that demo in the session, the developer kickoff session. So the last 10 minutes I want to spend talking about the roadmap, what's coming up in the future. And you also probably saw these slides. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but just want to say we are actively working on enabling these to all the platforms. One of the highest priorities for my team right now is to make sure that add-ins are available and working on all the platforms where Office works. So in the next 3 to 6 months, you should expect to see the orange cells coming up. And we're going to tackle the rest as fast as we can. So once we're done with the orange, we will go after the green, teal color. Now, that is one big priority. A second big priority is deeper integration. So this is something that's coming a lot in the user voice. So if you're not already participating in the user voice, please do so. We look at it and we understand a lot of the things that people want to do by looking at the user voice. And we have heard very loudly that people want deeper integration, both in terms of the APIs. So we're going to start adding and lighting up new, deeper APIs. We're going to start focusing on Word and Excel. And we're going to switch from the common APIs that we have today, which work seamlessly across Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, to deeper specific APIs that are specific to Word, Excel, so that you can have fine-grained control over the new functionality that we will have available. And you will, of course, will be able to use the existing APIs alongside the new application-specific APIs. And the target scenarios that we have for Word are document assembly scenarios. So basically, give you everything you need to create these document assembly scenarios to enable rich functionality for your end users. And in Excel, there's obviously the data import analysis and visualization scenarios that we want to enable, giving access, for example, to the charts object model, which is something that people have requested a lot. I want to create an app that automates the generation of a chart. OK, you will be able to do something like that. Now, the next thing in deeper integration is the UX. So Rob Lefferts already mentioned that we're starting to integrate and allow you to extend the ribbon. We don't see it as ribbon extensibility necessarily. We see it more as this notion of adding commands or command extensibility. The idea is that your app will be able to surface commands wherever Office users are already familiar to use those commands. So if it's the ribbon, it's going to be the ribbon. But there's going to be a layer of abstraction that your app will declare where do you want to show. And we will interpret that differently depending on the client. So there are clients that don't have a ribbon, like, for example, Outlook Web Access. But you will still be able to project commands. And we will make sure that we put them in the right place that makes sense for the user. So if you are interested in learning more about these, there's a session on Wednesday, 4:30 at 3:30 p.m. So we are releasing adding commands in Outlook first, but we're starting to work on adding commands for Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, and expect to have those soon. The other thing that we're doing is we're also going to enable different adding types. So you have seen the task pane, the content. In the case of Outlook, we have the reading pane and now the new pop-up shape that allows you to have contextual links. We're going to start in enhancing the number and the types of add-ins that you can create. Like, for example, if you want to extend the open and save experience, we may be able to give you access to that file open save and let you project some custom functionality over there. So we are still prioritizing what are the first scenarios. So again, user voice will be a great way to learn about what is important to you. But this is another interesting area where we will be investing in the near future. And lastly, we want to make sure that you have, from a developer perspective, all the resources that you need in order to create high-quality apps that really help your users be more productive. So we're going to start investing in things like UI templates. This is something that has been requested quite a bit. And let me show you just a quick glimpse of some of the thinking on that area. So I'm going to open the this up. So the idea here is what can we do to help you to create great-looking apps that really feel and fit great inside the Office UI. And so we have heard a lot of requests for like styling guidance and some help to do a better job in terms of integrating into the Office UI and the Office philosophies. So we're starting to think about this idea of the Office UI fabric or a set of UI templates that you can use to style your app, if you will, so that it looks and feels better inside Office. You're going to have access. In this case, I created, or someone in my team created, this app or add-in that basically illustrates a lot of the things that we'll be putting out there as a resource for developers. So you will have access to fonts, the same fonts that we use inside Office, so that the user can see the consistency between your app and the Office user experience. So the iconography is also very important. So we will put icons so that you can use them in your apps, and the users will recognize those icons, branding icons as well as function icons. There will be definition for the colors that Office uses so that if you want, you can match the highlight color, the background color, things like that. We will also thinking about templates for different things, like, for example, buttons. Toggle buttons, different types of choices. We also have things like layout. For example, if you want to create a list, in this case, we will give you all the styling that you need to create something that looks and feels like Office. And the nice thing about this approach, and I would love to hear your feedback about this, either via user voice or you can reach out to me directly, I can give you my contact information after the session, is we are planning to do this in a way that we think is going to be really easy to consume. So in this case, the way you will integrate this is just by creating some links to some CSS and JavaScript files in your project, that's it. And then a series of classes that you need to add to your HTML elements to basically style them the way Office styles the same items. And then this is really powerful because it really allows you to basically use the look and feel, but still use any framework, any JavaScript framework you can use or you want to use for rendering and creating the controls of the UI, you can still use. So just to demonstrate that, let me show you. In this case, that app is using Angular to render a list. So you can see how I can use both this UI fabric and just layer it on top of some other existing framework like jQuery, Angular, or Bootstrap, or whatever framework you're using. It's still compatible. It's not going to collide. So we want to make sure that you can still leverage any of the frameworks that are there on the web. So in this case, for example, if I insert a table here, I'm using Angular to do some data binding here. So I can, for example, delete something in this. And this table that is styled like Office via Angular is doing the data binding. So it's very easy to hook up. And you can see how the eventing and everything is just being taken care with the Office styling. And let me go back to the presentation. So hopefully this will be an exciting way to create the UI for your apps. We talked about the developer preview program, so please sign up. You can go to the booth and sign up, and then there's some subscriptions that you get for free to get controls from Telerik and also service that allows you to reach out and do email campaigns to follow up with your contacts. So those are great benefits, besides the fact that you will be able to be in touch with us and give us feedback about the work that we're doing. So with that, I just want to wrap up with a call to action. So I have two call to actions. One is specific to this session. Learn more at dev.office.com/getting-started. Look at the new page. There's a lot of simplified information, but also lots of samples, new samples there. Start testing your add-ins in Word Online. You can do that today. It was released to production this morning, so you can just go and play now with that. Also, start testing on the Excel for iPad. And we released the new version of the manifest v1.1, which is the one that allows you to jump into the iPad. And we talked about the new versioning for Office.js that we also released the one version number instead of two. And please provide us feedback on user voice. Developer program. There are tons of talks, express talks, where we will be drilling down into other topics. And then the stickers if you want to get to a cool hoodie. And that's it for now. I just missed one more demo, so I'm out of time. But if you guys want to stay, I just want to show you a couple of previews of the work that we're doing in Word and PowerPoint. I have that in my iPad. So if you guys have a couple more minutes, I can show you that quickly. And let me just turn this up. Just wanted to make sure that we went over the call to actions. So, okay, there we go. So now, one of the things I want to show is just that app that we created, the project template, the team builder. Of course, it works on the iPad. So let's see how that works here. So I'm going to open a project template here. I'm going to say edit. And I had already pre-sideloaded the manifest for that app. Here is Team Builder. So I'm here on my iPad. And as you would expect, the app just loads. And in this case, I already had one there. But I'm going to insert a new one at the end of the document. So let's come here and then get the template. It's loaded now. Now I can come and set the data. And as you would expect, there it is. Now I can also create this experience on the iPad. And as we start to enable these type of scenarios, this is some of the new work. As you can see, we're getting really close to a place where we will be able to ship these. We're not ready yet, but it's pretty close. We're also starting to work with some of our partners, like DocuSign, which already published their app. And it's already working for the desktop. And now we're testing that with the iPad. So let me go and show you how, from here, I can also launch DocuSign, which is available there. And I can load the app with almost no modification from the DocuSign guys. I have the app working on the iPad. I can say, I'm done with this project. And from within my iPad, I can say, I want to sign this project now. This is going to use the same implementation that they had, that it's working on the desktop, and that it's also going to work on Word Online here on the iPad. So it's reading the file. It's going to send it to the DocuSign service and load it here so that I can complete the signature. So here it is. I can see there's my diagram. I want to put my signature right there. So let's put signature and date sign. There you go. And with that, I can just press finish. And that document is now signed. So I created a project with a nice diagram that contains information from my backend. And I signed it and sent it to my client, all from my iPad, within a matter of seconds. So thank you very much. This is it. If you want to follow up, please come, and I can give you my contact information. Thank you.